Vegas Golden Podcast, a player a day preview series. We are on day four, which brings us to a glue guy, more or less, I think would be a good way to describe him. Riley Smith, entering his third season with the Vegas Golden Knights, played a ton, obviously been one of the key guys the last two seasons, and the Golden Knights are going to be looking for big things out of him again. He is a guy that kind of holds it all together, right, Justin?
Yeah, I would think so. I think he is the kind of the third musketeer on that top line that's been so good for the last 2 years. It's been Carlson, Marchessault, Smith, and the three of them have been together more often than they haven't been. When they tried to shake things up a little bit last year and move Smith off of that line, but in the end they brought him right back. He's been very steady in his 2 years. He had 60 points the first year, 53 points the last year. It's a little bit higher than what he was doing before, but not that much. He's been very consistent over the course of now 6 years since he's become a regular. You can pretty much pencil him in for about 50 points. Very strong defensively. I think that's a really big part of his game. And he complements his line mates very, very well.
Yeah, fits really well with William Karlsson and Jonathan Marsh. So that being said, you did talk about how Gerard Gallant did move him around a little bit last year. And, I mean, a new season always brings new possibilities. If there's a guy that could be shifted around or you see him move into some new lineups, I know we're totally speculating at this point. I mean, these guys haven't even reported to camp until next week. But do you see him as a candidate for that maybe plays with some different guys this year?
Yeah, it's possible. I think one thing, they sleep on Smith a little bit as kind of, they think of him as kind of that third wheel with the Carlson and Marchessault pairing. And I'm not sure that's necessarily fair to him because he performed at a level that was pretty equal to both of them last year. I'm trying to find it right now. Computer working just a little slowly. But last year, Jonathan Marchessault, 59 points. William Carlson, 56. Riley Smith, 53. Smith had 34 assists, which tied with Marchessault for the team lead. So I think that maybe he would be the one to move if they were shaking up the lines. But I think that the reason that we haven't seen a whole lot of that is because Riley Smith has proven that he's a top line player and that he plays that right wing. He plays it well. He dishes the puck out very well. And you know, every now and then he'll turn in a pretty good goal scoring season. He had 25 a couple of years ago in Florida. He had 22 the first year, but he's kind of in that high teens for goals, but in the 30s for assists. And I mean, that's a pretty good player, especially considering the possession numbers and defense that he brings to the team.
Yeah, I could certainly see him being kind of a guy that's taken for granted a little bit. To me, as I feel like I say in some form every one of these podcasts, I'm not as much as of a hockey guy, still learning things, but he really reminds me of like a basketball team, like when there's a player that fans are kind of frustrated with because they don't ever really see him do anything flashy, but you try to defend the guy, you're like, he's a great defender and he hits enough threes to have value. And, you know, fans don't necessarily get behind those guys or buy his jersey, but they're so important to the overall product. I feel like so I guess what I'm saying is Riley Smith is the 3-and-D guy
of the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that. He doesn't have the flash or the personality that Carlson and Marchessault do. So I think people kind of relegate him a little bit more to maybe a tier below. But like the reasons I just got into, I don't necessarily think it's fair. Since his taking out his rookie year where he played three games, since that 2012-2013 season in Dallas, he has not been below 52% Corsi, and he was on some bad Florida teams. So he went to Dallas, Boston, Florida, Golden Knights, and he's been consistent the entire time. He's going to help you with possession. He teams up with Carlson very well to kill penalties, arguably their best penalty-killing pair. And if they weren't so good offensively, they'd probably get more time on the penalty kill. You just don't want to, you know, burn them out on the kill. But Smith is a guy that any team except for the Florida Panthers apparently would want on their team. And at $5 million for the next 3 years, taking him through his age 31 season, he's on a very good contract as well.
And you touched on it, but I think the first thing that anyone probably brings up with Riley Smith, what he's kind of known for, is a great passer, definitely one of the best passers on the team. I'm just interested, what do you think, what differentiates his passing? What is it that makes him so much better in that area. I mean, it seems like it might seem kind of trivial, but I don't think it is. And I think it is an important part to what this first line's been able to do the last 2 years.
It's his ability to see the lanes, to see when a guy is going to have his stick in the way to prevent him from getting the pass to Carlson or Marchessault. And it's kind of the unselfish attitude of not necessarily wanting to shoot, not shying away from it, because he is, I mean, he scores quite a bit. I mean, he hasn't had fewer than 13 goals in his entire career. So he's able to shoot and score, but I think that he kind of he's looking for the pass, which is something that a guy like Marchessault, who despite all of the assists that he has racked up over the last 2 years, led the team in shots on goal by a pretty big margin. So it works out well when you have a guy like Smith who's looking to pass, a guy like Marchessault who's looking to shoot, and a guy like Carlson who's looking to do both. It's kind of the perfect trio that you would want.
Yeah, I think you knocked it down too. It made a lot of sense to me. Didn't think of it myself, but when you said it, I was like, man, I kind of had some plays flash before my eyes. I really do think his vision is very good. It seems like he can see maybe just a split second ahead of where people are going to be, maybe a little bit better than other guys on the ice, and I think that might help him.
Yeah, he's able to do that on the move too. You've seen him on the rush, but also when he kind of pulls up near the faceoff dot and is able to kind of survey it a little bit, and whether it's getting it back to the D to have Theodore or Schmidt or somebody else up there set it up, or to do it himself and see Marchessault crashing the net on the other side. He's got great vision on the ice, and then good hands to be able to get the puck to where he wants it to be.
And we talked about how well his game pairs with William Carlson. They have some of the same qualities. They've been kind of a match made in heaven right from the beginning. But I mean, he goes even further back with Marchessault. I think there's got to be something to be said for that chemistry. They played a year together in Florida. They came to the team together from the expansion draft. And I don't know, it definitely to me seems like there's something special there. And, you know, that was something the Golden Knights probably were aware of and have been able to maximized to, you know, close to its fullest potential, I think.
Yeah, I'll be candid when I say that I didn't watch too much of the 2016-17 Florida Panthers. So
I went to a couple games.
That's did
my,
you really?
Yeah, my mom lives about 5 miles from BB&T Center. Really? So I usually go to, I don't think I made one last year, but usually I go to a game, at least one game every year while I'm down there.
I watched one Panthers game that season. But but yeah, he and Marchessault get along really well, both in the dressing room and on the ice. And then he immediately paired very well with Carlson, like we had mentioned, on that top line and also on the penalty kill. He plays on the power play. He had 14 power play points last year. So and whenever he and Carlson are on the penalty kill together, they're a threat to go the other way and score a shorthanded goal. So I wish we could get too much more into it, but it's kind of Riley Smith he's a good player. He's steady. He's solid. He's not a guy who's going to put up, you know, have a season that he's going to score 80 points, but he's also not going to score 20 points in a season. He's very consistently a 50-point performer.
This might have been the year before. Since we've kind of exhausted Riley Smith, he's solid. He's going to be good. So I'm not just trying to.
He plays in all phases of the game.
Yeah. I'm not trying to change the topic, but you got me thinking about the Panthers. I think it was the year before, but I'm thinking of how wild this is looking back and how this would never work at T-Mobile Arena. So few people go to Panthers games. It was the year before. They were actually pretty good. They made the playoffs. Gerard Gallant was the coach before he was left to hitch his taxi home after getting fired, wherever he was. Carolina, I think.
Yeah,
is that where they let him go? Right. Okay, well, anyways, that year I went to a couple games while I was on vacation in Fort Lauderdale, one of which so few people were coming. It was like a Wednesday night. The tickets were like $15 before fees, all you can eat, and you got to go on the ice afterwards and shoot a slap shot.
Fantastic.
Can you imagine that happening at T-Mobile Arena?
There'd be a line out the door to try to do to try to get that, right? Like, if they sold $15 tickets, those would resell for much more than $15.
Let alone with free food and getting a slap shot, which, by the way, I connected really strongly, but I bit too hard. I went over the net.
Oh, you're just too strong. You don't know.
then my mom gets up there, my 60-year-old mother or whatever, and, like, dribbles one in and just, like, had the biggest celebration ever. Had a few Chardonnays by then.
Well, I would say substance over style here, and it sounds like your mom scored.
It was called slap shot. I told her it shouldn't count because it's a slap shot. I think I have a video somewhere. I might have to post it the day the day this runs, because I said it should not count. Looks like you're on her side.
You walked out the puck into the net and you didn't. That's all I'm hearing out of this. And
all right. Well,
I will say that I grew up in Arizona and I had something similar like that with the Coyotes. Is you could come onto the ice after the game and take a slap shot, and I missed to the left by about 30 feet, so I wasn't even close.
The Coyotes might be one of the only teams that is kind of, I guess, comparable attendance-wise to the Panthers. I know they've struggled a lot of years, yeah, too. Yeah, so
there is that. It's a nice reminder to think about whenever we go to Golden Knights games to cover them, just how packed it is and the atmosphere in there. Is unbelievable. So now that kind of pandering to the local crowd is finished.
Well, yeah, but just it fits with Riley Smith. Appreciate it. Like, these are the things you could not appreciate.
Yeah, right.
You need
point.
To appreciate Riley Smith because he does some things under the radar. Appreciate what you have with T-Mobile Arena.
You tied it all back in together. Way to go. So, all right. So what do we got on this prop bet? I took under Fleury 31.5 wins, under Carlson 24.5 goals, over Marchessault 24.5 goals. What do you got for me? I haven't seen this on Riley Smith. What's the prop?
Riley Smith, over under 17.5 regular season goals.
17.5? That seems low.
Yeah, now that we've talked through it, I mean.
Yeah, his 2 years in Vegas, he's had 19 and 22. He's getting power play time. 17.5 seems very low.
Is there something to my now? Granted, I only came up with this because I was reaching to try to justify why I took under Marchessault.
Sure.
But is there something to this that maybe these guys are going to have a little bit less ice time than they have the first 2 years with I guess a little more packed roster than before?
I think there's a little something to it. I don't think it's going to be you're going to see him drop from 20 minutes a night to 15 minutes a night.
Right.
I think you might see him drop from like 20 minutes a night to like 19 minutes a night. It's Golden Knights and Gallant really do like to roll those four lines. So the difference between the top forward in ice time and the bottom forward at 5-on-5 ice time is not that great with the Golden Knights as it is with some other teams. But yeah, I'm going to go over 17.5 for Smith.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of something because this one seems a little low to me too, but I know
I'm pretty sure
Jeff Sherman headed this up, and I know he is a lot smarter on hockey wagering than me, so it's probably not low. But that being said, I can't fight my first instinct that much. I'm going to say, I think I'll go over.
Yeah, I like the over there.
There's no way though. I think you did pick under on Carlson. There's no way all three of these guys go over. I don't think. I mean, there's no. I don't think. Well, but that wasn't the number last season. Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to see what the numbers were. I think Marchessault, who was the leading scorer, I think actually went under his total last year. Yeah, whatever it was, they definitely had his.
Coming off of 27 goals in the first year, probably was going to be higher. But
But so far, this is the one that I think I would be most confident in. Maybe Fleury under 31.5 wins, which we started with, but. I'm going to go over too, so we're in agreement on this one. Any final thoughts on Riley Smith? I feel like we pretty much exhausted everything.
Yeah, he is an underrated part of one of the best lines in hockey, and if it weren't for him, Carlson and Marchessault wouldn't be as good as they were, and he wouldn't be as good as he was without those two. So it's a really good trio that they have on the top line.
All right, well, that does it for week one of a Player a Day Vegas Golden podcast preview series. We're going to be back starting next Monday with a whole new slew of players as the NHL season grows closer and closer. Thanks for listening.